Fantastic. That's awesome. I was down at the Nowra Church last week, and that was just great. It's the church is going great, and things are doing really good, and all that sort of stuff. So that was cool. And I heard that Peter preached the best message ever last week. The best message ever. That's the cue for a bit of encouragement there. Absolutely awesome. Attractive authenticity. Oh, that's just awesome. And we had our men's life group during the week, and of course Peter's dad is in our life group, so he had to in all humility tell us why he was the hero of last week's message. And he struggled. No, he's all right. We all knew why he was the hero. He's an authentic guy. So we're today I really want us to focus on something. I was really going to build on that, but during the week, as I was thinking about what we're doing in China this week, I realized that I've actually never, I think, shared any of the teaching that we do in the Chinese churches with any of us. And I thought, that's not a very good idea, really. And so I thought today what I might do is, because we're really, when we go there, we're really talking to church leaders about how they view the church, how the church connects with the community, how the church connects with business and resourcing of the kingdom of God. And so we do a lot of stuff on mindsets and paradigms that help church leaders to break out of the old mold of church and to actually connect with what God wants to do in the kingdom of God within the culture that they're in. Which is really fascinating when you're dealing with the church in China encountering a very oppressive regime. And so I thought, I just really felt God say to me, just share one of those thoughts with the church. And so today we're going to do a thought around the cave or the kingdom. This is one of the key thoughts that we try to get across to church leaders, the cave or the kingdom. And I want to ask you today, are you a caveman or a kingdom man? Are you a cave person or a kingdom person? That's really the question that we ask in the churches and among our church leaders. And we've done this here in Australia, and we've done it in Thailand, and we've done it in China, and we basically do it wherever we go, doing this micro-enterprise community transformation approach to church life. And it's one of the things that I want us to get a hold of, because cave or kingdom churches are very, very different, and a cave person is very different from a kingdom person. And so I want us to get a hold of it today. I want you to get a hold. I think we have a whole bunch of kingdom people here. I don't see too many cave people among us. Don't you love it? It was about a week ago that there's a new discovery of some new cave-type person. Did you see that in the news? Did anyone see that in the news? You know, well, they did. You know, every now and then they come up with some new bloke who they think is sort of bridging the gap between here and there and the other place. And the funny thing is, as soon as they bring up, usually it's just a jawbone or it's a toenail, you know, or something like that, and then they make a whole person. And the funny thing is that when they bring a picture of that person, you go, oh, that's my neighbor. You know what I mean? Like they have this sort of image of this person. This is a thousands of years old cave person, missing link. And you go, oh, no, it's not. That's Uncle Jack. And you know, just that sort of stuff happened. And if you're interested in that kind of stuff, get onto the Creation Science website and start getting some learning, get a bit of real knowledge about that sort of thing. Don't come to me afterwards and ask me about all the evolutionary stuff. Just go and look it up, do a bit of research for yourself. I'll talk to you about it, but there's heaps of information out there and you can work all that stuff out for yourself. But I don't see too many cavemen among us here today, and I hope that we don't develop any of that mentality either. When we think about this, let's think about if I said to you, picture the church. It's a bit hard for you because you're not in a sort of traditional church. But if I said to you, picture the church, and when we do it with the leaders, what we do is get them to actually draw a picture of the church. We say, would you draw a picture of the church, please? And it's amazing. I wonder if I could have the first picture up. It's amazing how many people, if we've got it, oh, look at that. When they draw a picture of a church, they'll draw something like that. Is that the image that you have, the church on the hill, the traditional spire and steeple and the church on the hill overlooking the town, and here we are the church. Now, of course, that's not the church, is it? Somebody help me. That's just not the church. That is a church building, I trust. It could be something else, but it's more than likely a church building. Go to the next one, and we see, I think, another church. But what we recognize is that's not the church. That's a church building, again, but it's not the church. And it's amazing how many people, if you say, would you draw me a picture of the church, then that's what they'll draw. But we go to the next picture and we realize that's the church. There's the church. Let's go to the next one and we say, there's the church. You know, in a small group, discipleship, getting fair dinkum about their walk with God, that's the church. Then we go to the next picture and we realize that's the church. Jesus said, if you would even give a cup of water in my name, you give it to me. That the church is the church when the church engages the community. The church is the church when the people of God come together to encourage each other and fellowship with each other and build each other up, and from that place of strength actually go out and touch and bless people in their world. That's the church. Now, it was exciting. Last time we did this, we did it with a bunch of Chinese leaders, and you know what? When we asked them to draw a picture of the church, you know what they drew? No. Thank you, Joe, for coming. You know, Joe said a church. I heard that Joe copped a bit last week as well. Peter says it started out positive and took a left turn. But anyway, not to worry. Joe says they drew the building. No, they didn't. You know, the funny thing was, these bunch of church pastors from China, you know what they drew? They drew a bunch of people. Isn't that awesome? They drew a bunch of people, and we stood there and went, that's awesome. Because, you know, the fascinating thing is that they don't think about buildings, because the guys we work with, they don't have any buildings. And they keep getting their buildings taken off them. And they keep getting shifted from one place to the next and pushed around and carried on by the government and stuff. They understand that church is the people. But that's not the only concept we want you to get. But they do understand that the church is the people. What they don't get most of the time is that the people of the church need to connect with the community. And there needs to be a complete transformation of the community that we live in, and that God wants us to move out of the four walls, whether it be a church building or a home church or whatever, and actually connect and minister to the community that we live in. And that's the shift that's hard. It's hard for Western churches, and it's hard for developing world churches as well. They both find it equally as difficult for different reasons. And so that's what we're going to get to. So today, God's plan for his people, for us, for you and me, is found in Revelation. I think it's Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And that God said that there would be a multitude from all the nations of the earth that would come and worship him. That's God's plan, is that you and I would be active in such a way that all the nations would hear of the message of the love of God and would come into a place of fellowship and worship with him. We are moving a long way away from the cave church when we start to think in those sorts of terms. And I'll explain those things as we go through. Jesus said in Matthew 28 that he wanted to make disciples of all the nations. He wanted us to get out of our comfort zones and move into the nations of the earth, both here where we are and all around the world, in order that he might draw people to himself. That's the kind of thing. So the question is, am I a cave person or a kingdom person? Okay, now let's get to the scripture and understand what those two things mean. So the first thing is the cave church, the cave church. Many, many churches become cave churches. And I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 3. The whole concept of cave and kingdom comes out of the story of King David. If you remember the story, David does the slingshot thing, kills Goliath, gets anointed by God to be the king of Israel. Okay, that's the story. Remember the story? The king of the time, Saul, starts to hate him because God's blessing him and he's insecure. So he starts to hate David and he tries to attack David, and David has to go and hide in the hills in order to save his life. So here we have an anointed person who is meant to be the king and meant to establish a kingdom, but instead of doing that, what's he doing? He's hiding away in a cave. There we go. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 to 3. It says, when David was told, look, the Philistines are fighting against Goliath. Am I in the right place? 22, that's the wrong place. Chapter 22 is better. And verse 1, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there, and all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. That's exciting, isn't it? And he became their leader. Woo! About 400 men were with him. So here we have this group of people who gather in the cave. And it's basically David's immediate family. And then everybody who was in debt, who was distressed, or was discontented. So can you get the picture of the cave church? Here they are. They're gathered away in a dark little hole. Now, at this time when we're doing this with the guys, we usually draw a picture of a cave. All right, we do a picture of a cave. So imagine a picture of a cave. I didn't put one up there for you. But imagine a picture of a cave. And we start thinking about what does it mean to be a cave church? A cave church is characterized by usually just one family. There's only one family that's actually doing anything. Now, I was excited today as we look around and we see that the church is built by families. We have something like, I think it's now 45, 50 families in our church, in our various services and stuff. There's all kinds of people who are forming the kingdom of God here in our church. It's not just one family, one leader. It's multiple leaders and multiple things going on, all kinds of programs, reaching out and touching lives and doing things. And so that's sort of the opposite of the cave church. In the cave church, you've just got one leader and you've got one family and they basically do everything. That was our church when we started our church. It was just us doing the work of God and hopefully getting some people. And what happens in that one little cave church is that everybody who is in debt or who's distressed or discontented, they all gather together in the cave. So now they're in the cave with everybody who's unhappy. It's an awesome place to be. It's fantastic. And there's all these unhappy people all gathering together saying to the leader, the one leader who's doing anything, saying to them, please solve my problems for me. That's the cave church. I've visited plenty of cave churches. I've seen plenty as district leader on the south coast here. And last week, I got to say, sadly, after Nowra, in the afternoon, I went and helped with a church that was in some distress and discontent. And I met a group of cave people. And I didn't say to them, you are Neanderthals. I didn't do that. I didn't say, you've got that high brow and that big whiskers and you're looking like a caveman to me. I didn't say any of that. I was very nice. But in my own mind, in my own heart, in my head, I thought, we got cavemen going on here. And I saw you. As we were talking, one guy came in. I said, this guy's not a caveman. As he sat down and started to talk, he had some problems, some issues, but he wasn't a caveman. He had a different kind of spirit. And you know, the funny thing was that out of the meetings that we had, he was the guy that was able to get reconciliation and actually start to recommit to the work of God, because in his heart, he wasn't a caveman. He was a kingdom man. It's a different ballgame. It's a different spirit. But you see these places where it's all distress, it's all discontent, and they all gather in the little hole of the cave, and they say to the pastor, the leader, whoever it is, they say, you solve my problems, please, and until you do, I'll remain in discontent and distress and all that sort of stuff. And it's ugly. It's very ugly. About this time with the pastors that we're working with, they're also sitting there looking a bit unhappy because they say, that's my church. I remember a guy. It was from northern New South Wales. We were doing this program, and this guy was just sitting there, and he just starts shaking his head, and he just starts going, he's just doing this. He's just sitting there shaking his head. So as we're halfway through, we say, well, it just got pretty obvious. He was in distress, and we're saying, brother, what's the problem, you know? He said, that's my church. That's me. I'm in the cave with the distressed and the disheartened, and I'm the only one doing anything, and I'm burning out. And we got this guy and we prayed with him and we shared with him and we helped him and we coached him, and he's no longer in the cave church. And God has started to open his eyes to a whole new lease of life of what his church can be and what the community can be that he lives in. Isn't that good? That's what it's about. It's about getting people to say, I'm going to come out of the cave of distress and discontent and negativity. You know, when you're in the cave, it's all about me, myself, and I and all the little problems that are in my life. I major on the minors. I just go, these are my issues. This is my thing. This is who I am. These are my dramas. And could everybody please minister to me because I'm in such distress? Now, there's a place for that for a while. There's a place for that in terms of encouraging people. But you know that God wants you to progress? Does everyone know that? God wants you to progress. When we find somebody who's living like a caveman, we don't just condemn them and put them down and say, rack off, get out of here. No, what we do is we get alongside them and encourage them and pray with them and help them and coach them and disciple them, hopefully so that they can progress into what God's got for them. Because I'll tell you now, God's got a lot better for you than living in the dark old cave with a whole bunch of people who are distressed and upset and, you know, discontented. Amen? I'm going to stop saying amen. I realize I listened to myself preach the other day, which is a good idea. It's a bit, you know how it's funny when you see a picture of yourself or a video of yourself? It's really bad when you listen to yourself speak, but you've got to do it. I sort of decided, because I just did it then, but I decided I should stop saying amen, because that's sort of an old term. I should just say, isn't that right? Which is the same thing, and you could all then go, well, you could go amen, Rod, but that would be the wrong answer. Thanks for coming as well. But yeah, you just go, yeah, that's right. I like it. You know, when I sit, when the other guys are preaching, you know, I sit down the front. You probably do hear me because I do carry on. But I just sit there and I go, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, when they're preaching truth, I agree with them. And I think other people should know that I agree with them. People should know whatever I think, really. But certainly there in that situation, it's good to encourage them. But it's right. God's got something much better for you. Amen? Out of the cave. Thank you. Is that right? Yeah. So get out of the cave. Goodness gracious. And you know, you see it. You see churches living in the cave. You see people living in the cave and they try to pretty the cave up. You know, it's a survival vision. Have you ever noticed that? You probably wouldn't. I've noticed it. It's in the cave is all about survival. It's all about, can we make it to the next day? Can we make it to the next week? Can we make it this year? Can we just survive here? That's what the cave is all about. You understand? So that's the cave church, and the cave person lives in the cave church with the cave mentality. And we don't want... I'm happy to share with you today because I know that most of our church is not thinking like this. You know, this is not where we're at. No one's coming running to me saying, you're the only leader and you can solve our problems. Everybody knows that's not going to work. You know, that there's God's got leaders all over the church. He's got cell group leaders, life group leaders. He's got department leaders. He's got people in, you know, running ministries, prayer ministries, and all kinds of stuff. And they know that God is releasing leadership all over the place in order to release ministry. Now, you two need to calm down and stop being... There's a scripture that says that women should keep silent in church. And that's what it is. It's not about preaching, you know. That's exactly the circumstance that Paul's talking about. Where a couple of women start talking. Yeah, he said that, he said that. That's exactly it. Come on. Isn't that right, men? Come on. All the wussy men said, they're going, I don't know what I'm going to say anything about that. I got my wife next to me, I can't speak. It's great, isn't it? Get out of the cave. Get out of the cave. Awesome. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff on that, but I think you get the idea. Survival, no leadership multiplication. You know, people are just in that distressed state in the cave. You know, when I think about that church on the hill with that steeple, you know, most of those churches are dying. Most of those churches where it's come to us, we have all the answers, but we're not going to come to you. Those churches are dying. But the churches that say, we don't care about a steeple on a hill, and if there's a church with a steeple, that's great, fantastic. Nice building, fantastic, that's awesome. It's not the church. But when the church says, we're not going to stay in our four walls, we're not going to stay in here and try to be comfortable just with each other, we're going to get out of here and see if we can do something to be a blessing to somebody, that's when God blesses. That's when the kingdom starts to come. And that's what we see. Come with me over to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 38. Here we see David coming out of the cave, and he goes to the city. He goes to the community. He goes to the place of God's calling. And I tell you today, some of us, we need to think about this. You need to move out of the cave thinking, out of the cave mindset, and move to the place, not a physical place, it's a place in your own mind and heart. You need to move to the place of God's calling. where in your mind and in your heart you realize God has got a place for me in his kingdom. He's got something for me to do. He's got a calling for me that is way beyond myself. I was talking to one of the guys during the week about our building program, and we both agreed that the need we have in terms of the building and where we're heading with that is way beyond us. We just laughed, really. We just looked at each other and said, it's just way beyond us. If it's reliant on us and what we can do, then, you know, we've had it. We're in a place now where it's got to be God. It's got to be God. And God's got that for you in all kinds of areas, where he wants you to get out of the cave, connect with some people, and he wants you to get to a place where now it's beyond yourself, and it's now got to be him, where he starts to work and he starts to move. Is that right? Oh, I thought so. 1 Chronicles 12, I like saying that. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 38. Look at this. Here they go. They're moving out of the cave and God starts working. If you read, from every tribe, thousands of men come to join David. If you read the whole chapter, you see that thousands of men come to join David to establish the kingdom. It's an amazing thing that God does. It says that all these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over all Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. The men spent 3 days there with David, eating and drinking. Hallelujah! I went to Heath Buck's thing yesterday, and it's the first buffet I've been to for quite some time, let me tell you. And basically, I ate once yesterday. That was ridiculous. I came out of that, I just felt, man, I felt bloated. It was unbelievable. While I'm on that, just by the by, where's Brad? Come running up here, Brad. Running up here, I said. How much weight have you lost in the last...
Kilo, 58 kilos.
58 kilos. Go and see that. That is so cool. Unbelievable. I think I got a few of those yesterday. I was thinking about it while Brad was singing up there. That most you wouldn't sort of realize what's been going on there. And what Brad's doing, this is one other thing. You know, this is Kingdom Church, not Cave Church. And so this guy got in his heart, got his mind, I've got to do something about this situation of myself. And he's just done it, you know. And so now on a Wednesday afternoon, 5:30, Brad and a group of other people are actually getting accountable to each other and doing some stuff about, I want to get a hold of my weight issue and I'm going to do something about it. And the last few weeks they've been meeting together and just having a great time. So that's just an ad, you know. So if you want to, I tell you what, last week at Nara, because it wasn't my church, I went to town on, I was trying to talk about fitness in God, you know, you walk with God, but man alive, did I get into it about the whole, you know, I offended half the church. But anyway, that's all right. And, come along. Honestly, if you're struggling in that area of your life, you don't have to. Some of you might know that I was 10 or 15 kilos overweight some years ago, and God got on my case, and I dealt with it. And you can deal with it. Just come and see Brad, and he'll help you. The guy knows what he's doing. So come along. You know, that's cave and community. It's right there. People say, oh, well, do I have to preach the gospel? No, you've got to do something to help people. That'd be nice. If someone's struggling with a health issue, then let's do something to help them. That's cave and kingdom. That's right there. That's what it's about. Anyway, these guys are eating and drinking and having a great time. And they're probably all getting overweight, had to exercise afterwards. And it says, the neighbors from far away as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali came bringing food on donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen. There's a party. All right. There were plentiful supplies of flour, fig cakes, raisin cakes, wine, oil, cattle, and sheep. For there was joy in Israel. Wow. Cave and kingdom. When the people of God step out of the cave to engage the purpose of God in the community, God shows up. God shows up. It's no longer about us and me and myself and can my leader sort me out? None of that anymore. It's now, what can I do to establish the kingdom of God? Look at some of the characteristics of this group of people. Firstly, we see that there were many mighty men, fighting men, thousands of them, who showed up to make David king. I believe one of the characteristics of a kingdom church is when there are literally scores, dozens, tens, hundreds, whatever it is, but there's many godly people who are putting their hand up and saying, I want to do something for the kingdom of God. I love our men's life group meeting on a Wednesday night, because as those guys come together, I look around the group and every one of them is active in serving God in the kingdom. Everyone. And I sit there, I think, these are the warriors. These are the mighty men that we're talking about. I love it when we get our life group leaders together and we hear the stories of all the life groups across the church and what they're doing and what different people are doing and how they're working things out and they're figuring out what God's got for them and how they can reach those people that God loves and how they can do something to help somebody. And it's just great. We start all our life group leaders meetings with some testimonies. You know, a bit slow to get going, but some testimony. Who's had something happen in life group this last month? And eventually we get them to actually pipe up and tell us what God's doing. Isn't it funny how we forget the good things and remember the bad things? And there's good things going on all over the place. Many mighty men came, warriors who knew how to keep ranks and stand together and serve the kingdom of God. Oh, that's a kingdom church. It's no longer do it for me, it's now what can I do for you? I've got some strength. God's done something in my life. I know who I am. I know that God's called me, and I'm willing to take a stand with everybody else of like spirit, and let's do something for the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom church. The second thing I notice is the determination. They were fully determined to make David king. There's energy, there's excitement, there's determination. I love it when you find somebody who doesn't get hung up on the problem, but says, I'm determined to find a solution. I just love that. You know, there's some people you talk to, and when the problem comes, they just get knocked over straight away. It's like, you know, the problem comes, oh, I can't do anything about that. Oh, I can't do anything about that. Well, the truth is, you can't. Because you're not opening your heart to what God can do. But if you just open your heart to what God can do, then there's always a solution. There's always something that you can do to start moving in the direction that God wants you to move in. And they were determined. Determined to make David king. And they said, here we are, we're determined to get this job done. I like that. When someone brings energy, when they bring a bit of excitement and determination to the task, I think that's excellent. We see that they had a unity of purpose. It said they were of one mind to make David king. One of the characteristics of the kingdom person is that they know how to keep unity. They know how to stand together with other people. And they say, my life group is seeking to reach, you know, these non-church people who don't yet know the love of God. What can I do to support my friend in their outreach? My church is doing something. We're moving into the community in some way. We're doing some kind of outreach or service. What can I do to connect with that and serve that and do something for that? That person knows how to keep that unity of heart and mind and spirit. I love it that they were a unity of purpose. And we see that they had joyful fellowship. They were eating and drinking together. I hope they weren't drinking too much. Just by the by, we did a review of our leadership standards recently, and one of those is around the area of alcohol. Some people say, what's the standard of the church on alcohol? Do we have to not drink alcohol at all? Well, that probably wouldn't hurt some people. But our standard on alcohol for our leaders is very simple, that you should never be drunk. That's pretty... How many people think that leaders of the church should never be drunk? Come on, just give me a bit of an idea there. Okay. Now, we believe that. And so we defined what drunkenness was. In fact, our society defines it for us. They says you can't drive a car if you're 0.5 or above. So 0.05. 0.5 would be great. Almost dead. The doctor in training tells me you're almost dead at 0.5. I don't know how she knows that. I hope it's not from personal experience. I hope it's from a book. 0.05. And so what we've defined, we said, okay, leaders, one standard drink an hour and no more than two. Now, some of you would be helped by that. Is that right? Not right, Heath. We'll pray for you later. One standard drink in an hour and no more than two. And that's what we've defined for our leaders. We've said, if you don't want to be a drunk, then that's what you do. It's pretty simple. Just keep that simple standard. But they were eating and drinking together. So I think they're all leaders. They're warriors. They knew not to get drunk. So they were having one standard drink and no more than two. That's what they were doing. I'm sure of it. It's not in the scripture, but I'm sure that's what they were doing. But the thing that we get out of it is that they were joyful. They were joyful. They had joy in the camp. They were happy to be together. Isn't that interesting? In the cave, they were distressed and upset. But when they came together for a kingdom purpose, they were happy. They were joyful. I tell you now, if you spend your time focusing around yourself and your issues, then most of your time you'll spend unhappy. But if you start to rise above that and start to look at a kingdom purpose and join with people of same mind and same heart, then joy will start to come in your heart. And when you start to see the kingdom of God advancing, joy will start to fill your heart. You know, there's some people, I heard, as I mentioned to a few that we were going over to China this week, and some people will recognize and they'll go, our church is doing that. That's what we're doing together, and joy will fill their heart. When they do their mission giving and they're praying, they'll go, I did that. And you know what? They'll be right. They did that, and joy will fill their heart. When our kids rock people, have all those kids come in on a Thursday night, mayhem, but good. And when that all happens and that group of people come together and when they get over all the difficulties and the hassles and the dramas, you know, they'll be happy together because they're together doing something for the glory of God. When our youth team, who have seen a wonderful turnaround in the last couple of months, as young people have come together on a Friday night to worship God and it's all just happening, and you know, as they see that kingdom start to advance, guess what? Their joy will fill their heart. They'll be joyful. They've all got issues going on. There's all kinds of stuff happening in life, but they're joyful because they're engaged in the purpose of God. That's the kingdom church. That's the kingdom person. Is that right? The last thing we see is that there was plentiful supplies. We see the provision and the blessing of God. Where you see a group of people come out of the cave and into the community to do something for God, then you'll see God supply. You'll see God bless. Will you have problems? Yes, always. Bible gives you a promise. In this life, you will always have problems. There's a promise. Claim that one every day. Last week, I was preaching to the guys about being giant killers. And their pastor got up at the end of the service. He's a hard chap. And he got up at the end of the service. He said, that was a great message. I'm praying for you all to encounter giants this week so that you can use what Ron's just been telling you. And I thought, don't think of me this week, whatever. I don't want you praying for me, brother. Just pray for your own people. What a maniac. He's praying for his people to encounter giants so they can apply the message. Well, you could just have a life group and talk about it. I mean, that'd be almost as good. Aye. Wonderful. Provision. There's always problems, but God's provision is there. God's provision is there, and He provides to overcome to the kingdom church. The kingdom people that come together for the purpose of God and see God do something great amongst them. As I look around the kingdom people that are here, I see testimonies everywhere. Everywhere as I look around. You know, up the back, Jan won't mind because she put on Facebook, so it must be all right to share. So Jan went for an op the other week. They thought they had a big, didn't you, Jan? And they thought they had a big lump of cancer in under here, under her face, and they opened it up and it was gone. There was a little bit at the top, they had to just get rid of that, but it was gone. There's testimonies all over. Testimonies of the grace and goodness. Isn't that right, Jan? Testimonies of the grace and goodness of God for kingdom people. Kingdom people who said, I'm going to get out of the cave. I'm going to stop thinking about all the distress and all that. We've all got that. I'm going to stop focusing on that. I'm going to get focused up on the kingdom of God. I'm going to get focused up on the people that I can give a cup of cold water to. Someone says, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a great witness. Well, can you give cold water to somebody? Probably. And they look around the people around them and they go, how can I do something to bless somebody in my world? That's a kingdom person. A person who says, I'm getting out of the cave and I'm now taking part in the kingdom of God. Mighty man who gathered together of one mind to establish the kingdom of God. And that group of people established the greatest kingdom of Israel in history. That group of people. As they came together and they said, we are here to make David king and establish God's lordship over this nation. And that's what they did. Amen? Cave and kingdom. The Chinese guys will be getting that this week. So pray for them because some of them will freak out, I'll tell you right now. I've watched them freak out as they sort of... I remember watching one guy as he thought about going and actually talking to a government official so that he could find out the needs of his community. And a man alive, he's just freaking out. because the idea that once you get hidden away, and their faith, they are wonderful. I mean, their faith is so amazing. But one of the impacts of being suppressed and persecuted for so long is that you can tend to get a bit closed off. And one of the things God's doing at the moment is just breaking them right out of their shell. They are amazing people. And once they break out, man alive, you should see them go. They're just amazing. And then people like Steve that Andrew prayed for before, and they just say, we don't care what comes, we don't care what happens, we are here to bring the kingdom of God into this community. And they just get released. They're awesome. Cave and kingdom. Don't be a cave person. Amen? Is that right? Be a kingdom person. A kingdom person. Let's stand together. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your presence here with us today. And I thank you, Lord God, that for many years you've been leading our church not to be in the cave, but as much as we can to get out into the community and to see your kingdom come and your name be honored everywhere. And I thank you for every person in our church, both here and those who aren't here today, who are just serving you so incredibly. I just really thank you for so many who are engaged with your purpose, who aren't inward focused but are outward focused and are wanting to do what you've called them to do. And today, Father, I do pray for those who are struggling with real and substantial difficulty and have just been really struggling to get on top of that. And I just pray, Father, that you would encourage each one, that, Lord, you'd help them to get around some good, godly people who can help them and encourage them, that you'd make your provision and help those to break out of that and to engage with what you've got for them, that your blessing and your provision would rest in their life. We ask it in Jesus' name. We bless you, Father God. While we're praying today, I just want to encourage you. You know, Jesus died for you. The whole point of Easter coming up is that Jesus died for you and he died for me so that we could have relationship with God. If you believe in God but you've got no relationship with him, you're not in right relationship with him, that's what Jesus died for. And so we're going to pray this morning and ask God to forgive us for being away from him. That's what we call sin, doing the wrong thing. We're going to ask God to forgive us and simply to say, God, I'm giving my life to you. I want to be in relationship with you. That's what Christian faith is all about. It boils down to that simple thing. I can never please God, and he doesn't want me to try. He simply wants me to come to him, open my heart, say, God, forgive me. I want to be in relationship with you. We're all going to pray together that way, and if you're ready for that and you want to pray that way, then you join us. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that way today and you meant it, then we have some simple Bible study material that will help you to read the Bible and understand what the Christian faith is about. It's very easy, very simple. It will help you to actually make it real. What I'm asking you to do, we have these up at the host table at the back there. The person who brought you today, the person who invited you today, I want you to grab them and say, let's get one of those books. And I want them to help you with that. They will help you with that. They know they're supposed to. And so grab them, say, I want to get real about my relationship with God. And I need some help with it. I want you to help me. Be bold, be brave. Ask someone to help you to live that out. Don't just pray a prayer. That's not Christian. That's not faith. Don't just pray a prayer and then sort of go away. Do something about it. Start to live it. Start to let God come into your life in a real way. So grab the person who invited you and say, we've got to do that. Amen? God bless you. Have a great week. Pray for me, please, this week. I'd appreciate that.